Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's not easy being the one everyone counts on to keep the facility running, no matter the weather or supply chain hiccup. But we get you, Raymond in Buffalo, and Maria in Miami, Jules in Minneapolis, and Stan in Central Indiana. Taking control of everything that's under your control. At Grainger, we're here for you with experienced branch staff at over 250 locations so you get the product you're looking for. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Considering those teams that might be the most mortified on Monday morning as they wake up with a football hangover, if you will, I think there are way better teams than the ones that we put in the poll. And the ones that I chose to put in the poll, Jay and I kind of split the responsibilities, but actually now I'm thinking, I don't know. I hope you'll send me your write-in votes. I might do a write-in vote from my own poll. So who will be suffering the most Monday mortification? There's plenty of misery and mortification to go around. You know how it is in the NFL. 1 week you're up, 1 week you're down, 1 week you're the windshield, 1 week you're the bug. And it pretty much goes back and forth, especially in this early part of the season. So you can find our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us on this Sunday night into a Monday morning. There's a lot to get through, and we've really only scratched the surface. It's one of those weekends in which I don't want to say I hate that we are beholden to the NFL, because the NFL drives the bus, and I love NFL Sundays. But man, there was a lot that happened this weekend. And I will get to some of the other major headlines as we head through the week, and we're not immediately in the aftermath of week three. Now, Monday's always pretty busy on Monday night. I mean, because not only do we have Monday night football, but we generally have a bunch of injuries, and we are waiting to hear more about Mac Jones. Right now, the Patriots believe he has a high ankle sprain. So to add injury to insult, Patriots lose at home to the Ravens. And the way they lost at home was brutal. So we'll get to that coming up. It wasn't just the fact that they lost. It was what happened at the end of the game when they had opportunities. And then Mac Jones, on what I think is one of the last plays of the game, ends up getting hurt. So the Patriots definitely belong on the Monday mortification list. But there are plenty others, right? So we'll wait for the injuries. We'll sift through the aftermath of week three plus Monday Night Football, but also I'm hoping on Monday or even in the middle of the week, I can spend some time talking about Roger Federer's final match, because it was on TV locally in my neighborhood. It was on MSG, which is a New York network. I wasn't expecting it there. I'd actually signed up for a free trial for some streaming service online because I thought that was the only place that I could watch the Laver Cup coming out of London. It was actually Friday afternoon. I was supposed to do yard work. I was supposed to do all kinds of things. But once I discovered that Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal were playing doubles on my TV, that was it. I sat there for 2 hours. I think I got a few emails done, but that was pretty much the only productivity I had over those couple hours. This is only the second time they'd ever played doubles in their careers. And it was a lot of laughter, a lot of joy, but it was also some pretty freaking amazing tennis against the two Americans, Francis Tiafoe and then Jack Sock, who is actually a championship doubles player. He's been ranked number one in the world before. He's won a couple of Grand Slams. Anyway, it was so emotional. As you can imagine, the fans in London having a chance to shower Roger Federer with their appreciation, their praise. It wasn't just he and Rafa. Novak was there as a cheerleader. John McEnroe was, and Bjorn Borg were the two coaches, actually, for Team World and Team Europe. Rod Laver was in the arena. There were so many other champions there on both the men's and women's side to celebrate Roger Federer. And the tears between him and Rafa. How much do we all need a friend like Rafael Nadal, who cries when we cry? I'm telling you what, he might have cried harder than Federer did. It was amazing to see Rafa be so emotional as his rival and his good friend is retiring. But also, I think that's the case. A lot of times there are people that cry when we cry. I'm that kind of a person. If I have a friend who's crying, I generally start crying too. So anyway, it was pretty cool. And I really would love to talk about it, but don't have time tonight. In Major League Baseball, we're seeing the postseason picture come together. So congratulations to the Cleveland Guardians, who last won the AL Central in 2018 when they were not the Guardians. But they are baseball's youngest team. And while they were maybe expected to compete, I don't know that anybody put on them an AL Central crown. And if you go back to early September, they were tied for first place. But they've won 7 games in a row, 18 in their last 21, and they've run away with the Central Division. A lot of their big wins lately have come against the White Sox and other teams there that they're competing against. And so a 10-game lead is where they are now, and that's good enough for the AL Central title. So congratulations to the Guardians, who are the latest to punch their ticket to October. The New York Yankees were already in. The big buzz around them, of course, is Aaron Judge and waiting for home run number 61. The noise, the din, the electricity at Yankee Stadium over these last few nights as they were taking on, or last few days as they were taking on the Red Sox. But talk about anticlimactic. The massive storm system that actually, there were some reports of a tornado out on Long Island. This massive storm system that produced hail and damaging winds and lightning and thunder and torrential downpours drenched the Bronx in Yankee Stadium. And the game between the Yankees and Red Sox was called. I think it was the 7th inning. But they never went back and played because the rain came down so hard that there was no way Yankee Stadium was going to be dry. If you happen to see the video of the Braves and Phillies, they were actually playing in the monsoon until finally the umpires said, no, come on, let's put the tarp on the field. But it was insane how hard the rain was coming down. And so because of that, Aaron Judge doesn't end up with what would have been a final at bat there, a chance to hit 61. His family, the Roger Maris family, there's so much attention on him. And as much as he knows how to play with pressure, clearly, because he's one of the most recognizable baseball players on the planet and yet still is a Triple Crown candidate for a first-place team, he's able to operate and perform at his highest level under pressure. But I think what would be hard for me is feeling bad because all these people, the Maris family, my own family, in the stadium until it's done. And actually, I did hear that the Maris family might travel to Toronto, that they might actually go on the road so that they can be there when number 61 is hit. Producer Jay, was it Tuesday that he hit number 60?
I want to say yes, but let me confirm it.
All right, so it was early last week, and I just remember chuckling the next day when he didn't hit a home run. He had a couple doubles instead, and the headline in one of the New York papers was Aaron Judge stuck on 60 home runs. I don't know if you could say stuck still, because it seems like there's such a connotation to the word stuck, but he hasn't yet hit 61. And the week has gone by. He's flirted with it a couple of times. There have been some balls that have gotten really close, but not yet number 61. And on Sunday Night Football, while the Broncos and Niners were no doubt dominating the ratings, the Yankees and Red Sox went into a rain delay and never came out. Wah, wah, wah. But the Yankees have won 8 of their last 10 and 7 in a row, so don't cry for me, Argentina. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The Dodgers beat the Cardinals on Sunday, and so now the Dodgers have clinched the best record in the National League, and they've tied their franchise record for wins. Can I just read you this record? This is obscene. 106 wins, 47 losses. That's crazy. They are 59 games above 500. And you would think, I don't want to count chickens before they hatch out of their eggs, but you would think they're going to set a new franchise record with still, what is it, 9 games to go? Wait, hold on. I'm doing math in my head. Yeah, 9 games to go. You would think they'd get another one in there. Or maybe 2 or 3 or 9. So they beat the Cardinals on Sunday. But honestly, the centerpiece of this series, Albert Pujols and the Cardinals going back to Los Angeles, where Albert spent most of last season. And if you didn't see Friday night, I think it was on Apple Plus, but if you didn't see Friday night, when the Dodgers PA welcomed him back and they had a gift for him because he's retiring, regardless of how many home runs he hits, he's retiring. He grabbed the microphone and it was impromptu. Albert said a few words, and while he was addressing not just the Dodgers, but also the Dodgers fans, he thanked them for helping him to find the joy in baseball again. He essentially said that playing in Los Angeles after he had been cut by the Angels, playing with the Dodgers, reminded him what he loved about baseball all along, and that it gave him a joy to continue playing. And we hear these stories all the time about the Dodgers as a family and how much fun they have. I mean, think winning is fun, let's be honest. But Albert thanked them because they kind of gave him a boost and an excitement about the game again. Maybe enough that we got one more year out of this future Hall of Famer. Now, I've been teasing you guys for a few days. Actually, I feel like it had gone on for a couple of weeks where his home runs had only happened on the weekends. A few of them had come on Sundays where we were on the air afterwards. But I swear, over the last few weeks, he kept hitting home runs on Fridays. So it was absolutely going to happen on Friday that he was going to hit his next home run and take another step toward baseball immortality.
Tommy Edman leads at first base as Andrew Haney deals. A swing! A long one! Left center field! That's the gunner! A gunner for Pujols! He is at 699 now as he hit that one a mile. Oh, did he get into it?
That's John Rooney on Cardinals Radio. A couple things, because I was listening to this game. I don't have Apple Plus. Obviously, you could see the highlights when Pujols came up to bat. There were other networks that were carrying. But I was also listening to the radio feed. And before Albert got to the plate in the third inning, literally minutes before he hit home run number 699, John Rooney said, I think he's going to get one tonight. Maybe two. I swear John Rooney said that. Something else that was interesting is that John said he was extremely nervous for whatever reason, maybe because he was sure that Albert was going to hit another home run and because he was taking this giant step. He actually admitted to being really nervous, and you can hear it. Do you mind playing that one again? John Rooney rarely messes up. He rarely stumbles. He's so smooth all the time, and actually you can hear the nervousness in his voice.
Tommy Edman leads at first base as Andrew Haney deals. A swing! A long one! Left center field! That's the gunner! A gunner for Pujols! He is at 699 now as he hit that one a mile.
Oh, did he get into it?
Now, he would get another opportunity, of course, because every time Pujols came to bat in this game, regardless of who was calling it, for most play-by-play teams in Major League Baseball, they alternate. Some teams alternate every three innings. Some teams alternate every other inning. In the case of the Cardinals, regardless of who happens to be handling play-by-play, when Albert Pujols comes to bat, it's John Rooney automatically, which is neat because he's the iconic longtime play-by-play voice of the Cardinals.
A Redbird winner!
He's the one whose voice you hear in your head when we talk about the Cardinals. And so in the fourth inning, as the Cardinals were continuing their assault on the Dodgers and Dodgers pitching, he got another shot for an Albert Pujols at bat.
Pujols with the widespread stance, arms out over the plate. Pitch. A swing, and there it goes! Left field, way back! That's home run number 700! Pujols hits a three-run homer, and he hit 699 and 700 at Dodger Stadium on September 23rd, 2022. 8:23 p.m. Pacific time.
Every Cardinal is out of the dugout congratulating Albert Pujols. The Dodgers are on the top step clapping for their former teammate and friend who they honored before the game today. Everybody in the ballpark is standing. What a great moment, a Hollywood moment here in LA. And Albert has been writing Hollywood moments all summer long, and you can add this one to the list. 700 home runs for the great Albert Pujols.
A team meeting in front of the Cardinal dugout. Hugs all over the place for Albert Pujols as he celebrates 700 career home runs. Barry Bonds, 762. Hank Aaron, 755. Babe Ruth, 714. Albert Pujols, 700.
Of course, the Cardinals put out all kinds of videos, and the extended version, I just retweeted it again because I've watched it a dozen times. It's just over 2 minutes, and I can't stop grinning still when I hear it with John Rooney, who, by the way, nailed 700. Whatever nerves he had for 699, he was impeccable on that historical moment. I love seeing the reaction of Albert's teammates. Also, the Dodgers. Mookie Betts is standing out in the outfield cheering for him. And all of the Dodgers are up on the top step applauding him. The fans, there were special guests there. It was really cool. And so if you haven't seen the video, I just retweeted it. It'll give you chills, even now, on a Sunday night. Congratulations to Albert Pujols. This is the culmination of a lifetime of work. But man, what a summer he's had. If not for him, the Cardinals wouldn't have such a large lead in the NL Central. They wouldn't be headed to the postseason. Seems like every home run he's hit, every big hit he's had in the last month has come at a critical time. No one's serving him up softballs. No one's giving him meatballs down the middle of the plate. We are seeing vintage Albert Pujols in the last month. And finally, that load off his shoulders. And he was there at the press conference following the game with all of his kids, which was really cool.
Walking through this journey, through the ups and downs and to the cries and to the hurt, to the injuries, and, you know, knowing that they have my back and having them, you know, understand in this game like this, being part of this history means a lot to me. Everything, pretty much.
Every time something cool happens, I just try to remember it. So for the rest of my life, I can look back on it with joy and just so happy for him. I mean, I know he wants to win. That's where his focus is. But for him to be celebrated this year and to be able to get to the special number of 700, it's awesome. And just, you know, every time he does it, just extremely happy for him.
Just watching him once all the cameras are off and he's in the tunnel, hands in his face, just really taking in what he had just accomplished. That was probably the most meaningful snapshot for me, is just watching him do his thing all by himself. And then to be able to come in here afterwards and toast to it and take a minute to step back and really acknowledge what just took place was a pretty special night.
You know, don't get me wrong, I know where my places stand in this game, but I think since day one when I made my debut, it was never about numbers. It was never about chasing numbers or anything. It was always about winning championship and try to get better in this game.
Albert Pujols, 700 club, only the fourth member. And he still stands at fourth place all time. Likely where he will be for a long time. I said at the start of the season, it's one of the stories of the summer, this pursuit of 700. And as much as I wish it had happened on a night we were working, I'm just so thrilled for him. So thrilled for him, for his family, and for the Cardinals, who brought the man back, maybe never expecting he would have such an impact on the field itself. Maybe thinking he'd be more of a mentor. Every now and then they throw him out there for a pinch hitter, come up with a nice moment. But history and the impact he's had, phenomenal. One of the game's great ambassadors. A champion. A gentleman. And now part of baseball immortality. So I'm glad we had the chance to witness it. I love being a witness to history. And that's all the time we have for baseball. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll get back to football on this Sunday night into a Monday morning. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. If you haven't seen the video and the extended version of Albert's home run, plus the celebration outside the dugout, it's worth watching because, again, it's history, and we got to see it. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Goddard in motion, comes back to the near side. In the gun is Hurts. Hurts fakes. He's back. He swings it out to Goddard. Goddard gets a block. Goddard on his feet at the 10, at the 5. Touchdown! Dallas Goddard. Hurts clapping his hands. Hurts back. He's looking. He fires. He completes it. Leaning in. Is it a touchdown?
It is.
Do you wait? Yes, it is a touchdown to A.J. Brown. Hurts back. Hurts looking. Hurts firing. Devontae Smith, touchdown! He caught it in the corner of the end zone. Again, he went skyward.
The Slim Reaper.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The Eagles overwhelm the Washington Commanders. And Carson Wentz. Oh, the NFC East. It's familiar. It's like cousins, kissing cousins. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Merrill Reese with the calls on the Eagles Radio Network as Philadelphia moves to 3-0. And remember, this is building on top of last year's surprise wild card out of the NFC East in the first year with Nick Sirianni. And Jalen Hurts getting new weapons this season, and it's definitely paying off. But it wasn't just the offense in this game. And this is why I appreciate so much of what we saw from Philadelphia. Do you know that the Eagles had a 24-0 lead at halftime? All their points came in the second quarter. And they never scored again. So it's not like the Eagles are into some incredibly consistent offensive zone either. Now, they've had some great success in the first 3 weeks in bursts. But all of their points, all of their touchdowns coming in the second quarter, and they didn't score in the second half. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The Eagles defense deserves a ton of credit in this game. Carson Wentz was under siege early and often. In the first half alone, 6 sacks and a fumble that led to the Dallas Goedert touchdown. Philadelphia also had a goal line stand on 4th down in the 4th quarter. And this is demoralizing for Washington because the Commanders had marched 93 yards on 15 plays and then get stonewalled at the goal line. When it's all said and done, the numbers for the Eagles defense, 9 sacks. 9! What are you, the Bengals offensive line? 9 sacks, 17 quarterback hits. Ooh, if you're Carson Wentz, you're not sleeping tonight because you're pretty sure the Eagles are going to sack you again when you're not looking. Oy, talk about skittish and happy feet. 9 sacks, 17 quarterback hits, and a takeaway for the Philadelphia defense. So yeah, if you're Brandon Graham, if you're the Philly D, you're waking up flying high, as in flying high, Eagles defense flying high on Monday.
Our standard is our standard, and I'm just happy that, you know, we finally got one of them games where we got a 9-sack game. We was out there having fun, and, you know, we just want to win because we know how hard it is in this league. It was more about just making sure that we didn't let up because we know we've been in this situation before where we was up, and they came back and beat us, so we just had to make sure that we kept our foot on the gas.
I think we're very confident in what we can be. We just got to find a way to show that consistently and do that. And so, like I said, the NFL's fast. It's fast and furious, and you got to learn from it. Not good enough. Definitely not good enough. You know, hats off to them. That's a good defense. It's a good team. They got after us, and, yeah, I did not play to my standards, and especially early.
6 sacks in the first half, but 9 overall. Brandon Graham says a 9-sack day. Is that even a thing? We knew we had a 9-sack day. As for Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles, 400 total yards of offense. He has 3 touchdowns. And boy, did Devontae Smith show off in this game. Wowzers. A career first half with 156 yards. A little Justin Jefferson-like. 156 yards, 7 catches, some the insane variety, and a score. And, of course, the two of them have the Alabama connection, so we're seeing it play out with the Eagles' offense.
I know I'm a reflection of the team. I'm a reflection of all the other guys on the field. I know they have their eyes on me. They expect me to lead them, so I just want to do my job to my best abilities.
The trust that Jalen has in all the receivers, it's our ball, nobody's ball. So just being there with him, just being able to make sure that if we don't come down with it, nobody comes down with it.
Devontae Smith was one of my favorite receivers coming into the NFL. I love when Philadelphia drafted him. But, of course, he's going to have more and more opportunities with the number of weapons they have. You can't really clamp down on one versus another, right? You're not going to do what the Vikings are seeing. Well, defenses aren't going to do what they're doing to the Vikings with Jefferson. Jefferson seeing double and triple teams in some cases because his numbers are so gaudy and could be so gaudy. Well, with the Eagles, it's Devontae Smith. It's A.J. Brown. It's Quez Watkins. It's Dallas Goedert. It's Jalen himself. It's Miles Sanders. Pick your poison. And still not extremely consistent. The defense makes those 24 points in the second quarter hold up. As for the Commanders, they fall to 1-2. And while the defensive line was pretty good at times, they had 3 sacks of Jalen Hurts, able to limit the Philly run game to under 100 yards, which is a big deal. The offense just not much of a compliment. And so here are the Commanders once again having to dig out of a hole in the NFC East.
I'm not concerned. You know, we weren't at full strength. Okay. Having said that, they still ran against us. You got to give them credit. That's a very gritty football team. They came out. They had a lot of energy early on. They fed off the energy around the crowd, and they made a couple things happen, and we didn't respond. Came out in the second half. We responded. We fought. We battled. We did some good things. I think you got to look at, you know, more than just what you see on the surface. There's a lot more to what happens.
I do love Ron Rivera. So far, not loving much about the Commanders offensively. There's plenty of Monday mortification to go around. We've just given you four candidates in our poll, but a lot of the fun is seeing what other teams you throw into the mix. So in the poll, and you can find it on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook. Lots of people weighing in on Facebook. It always blows me away, the number of people who are active on social media during the hours that we're working. That's right. Bring it. Let's go. New England Patriots, not only because they lost at home to the Ravens, but because they may have lost their quarterback. The Chiefs, who somehow fumbled away a game in Indy. The Cardinals, who are getting pasted by teams, last week's rally against the Raiders notwithstanding. I suppose the Raiders could be in this poll. We decided to go 2-2, AFC, NFC. So the Buccaneers, who, yes, losing their home opener to the Packers, but really it's about that offense that has just three total touchdowns in 3 weeks. But we're seeing a lot of you respond with Chargers. Oh, I definitely could have put the Chargers in this poll. Maybe even over and above the Chiefs. The Chargers, the Raiders, who are now 0-3. Plenty of misery to go around. That's just how we like our sports, right? If you can't beat them, join them in their misery. On Twitter, on Facebook, our phone number 855-212-4227. The Dolphins are the other 3-0 team, along with the Eagles. And yet they just can't do anything typical, usual. Their wins always come with a flair for the dramatic. We'll talk Dolphins and Bills next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Chase Edmonds, the running back. Gesicki on the flank to the right. Waddle to the left. And there you go. One way, give it another one. It's Edmonds for the touchdown.
That one opened up.
They faked it to Hill and gave it to Edmonds, and he walked into the end zone.
Third and goal from the 8. Snap. Josh, back to throw. Fires down the middle. Caught by McKenzie. Into the end zone. Touchdown. He caught it at the 2, and he sailed into the end zone for the go-ahead touchdown for the Bills.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Man, this game seems like forever ago, but this was probably the best drama of the early round of games. And why are the Dolphins in the center of all of this all the time? There were some other really impressive finishes, fantastic fun finishes, like the Vikings over the Lions. We'll get to that game coming up, as well as Ravens and Patriots. But we're asking you to take our Monday mortification poll. Oh, I should mention, actually, Texans and Bears went down to the wire too. So there's a lot to get to still. We make the commitment that we'll talk about every game at least once. That's the best we can do in the early season when every game counts and every game matters so much with the storylines coming out of the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. So whether you're telling me who the best team in the NFL is to this point, or whether you're taking our Monday mortification poll or both, that's where you can find us, plus our Facebook page. Bills and Dolphins actually tied at 14 at the half. And you hear first Dolphins radio and then Bills radio, Jimmy Cefalo and John Murphy, respectively. Miami gets an early touchdown after a Josh Allen sack and fumble. It's instant red zone, and Chase Edmonds is able to punch it in. But after leading a second quarter touchdown drive that ends up with a River Craycraft reception, Tua gets pushed backward by Matt Milano on the next drive when the Dolphins have possession, and his head smacks the turf. And when he gets up, we've seen this before, it looks suspiciously like he couldn't stand up on his own. He's wobbly. He goes to the ground a couple of times. His linemen rush in. Teammates come in to help him. And so instantly, Twitter, the announcers, pretty much everybody start speculating about a head injury and him being in concussion protocol. But yeah, there he was to start the second half, which means the NFLPA has already launched an investigation. How could Tua get back on the field that quickly? Well, apparently it wasn't a head injury.
He kind of got bent back pretty significantly on a quarterback sneak earlier. And so, you know, I was kind of with everyone else when he hit his head on the ground. I assumed it was a head injury. But his legs got wobbly because his lower back was completely and loose.
Felt like I hyperextended my back or something. And then on the next play, I kind of hit my back and kind of hurt. And then I got up, and then that's kind of like why I stumbled. My back kind of locked up on me. But for the most part, you know, I'm good.
He's good. Although still, there is an investigation because he would have to be cleared by independent concussion protocols and doctors. And according to the Dolphins, he went through all of that. He was cleared. This was not about a head injury. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So he's back for the second half, but really nothing's working until early in the fourth quarter when he and Jaylen Waddle really show off their connection and the fact that, again, they have history going back to Alabama, and he definitely looks for Jaylen Waddle. So there's a pair of deep balls to Jaylen, and the Miami offense is moving once again. And then the Miami defense, as we've seen against the Ravens last week and stonewalling Baltimore in the fourth quarter, goes to work against Josh Allen and the Bills.
First and goal now from the three. Edmonds remains the running back. He'll flank to the right. They give it to Edmonds up the middle. Touchdown.
Got it. Only fitting to Chase Edmonds, the guy that got hit.
Fourth and goal. Back to throw. Allen looking
for it.
Incomplete. He short-armed it. Dolphins. To Isaiah McKenzie.
He hasn't one-hopped a lot, but he did. And the Dolphins get another stop in the red zone. Wow, what a stop.
So following Chase Edmonds' second touchdown that puts the Dolphins in front, Buffalo goes 17 plays over 8 minutes and 20 seconds. In that heat, they were losing guys to dehydration. They were losing guys to cramps. Guys were absolutely exhausted and gassed. And they're out there on the field for 8 minutes and 19 seconds. 17 play drive. But there's a bad pass. It actually bounced at the feet of his receiver from Josh Allen. Bad pass. I think it was intended for Isaiah McKenzie, as you hear there on Dolphins radio. It's fourth down. It's at the 2-yard line, and the Bills fail to score. But we're not done. I don't know if we'll call it an iconic moment, but because of a miscue by the Miami punt team, there was still hope.
Morstead is in the punt. He's standing just inside the end zone. That's how deep he is. The line of scrimmage isn't even the one. Fourth down. Jamison Crowder, the return man for Buffalo. Bills are out of timeouts. The snap to Morstead. This kick is partially blocked high into the air. The Bills, it'll sail out the back of the end zone. It's a safety. It's a safety. And the Bills had two on the board.
That's John Murphy on Bills Radio. It's a safety and a miscue because the ball smacked off the backside of the personal protector who was in front of Thomas Morstead. Trent Sherfield is his name. Trent. It smacked off his rear end. The ball literally got kicked right into his rear end. If you haven't seen it, you're going to have to check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And of course, we need one Tyreek Hill to tell us exactly what happened there.
I've never seen a butt pump before, man. But I'm sure, you know, Trent is very, like, he's very smart, you know, like, so for him just to come to the sideline, you know, take ownership and all of that, you know, says exactly, you know, what kind of player he is, you know. So he's going to go into the film room, he's going to correct it, you know, and next time he's going to catch it with his butt cheeks because he got strong butt cheeks.
Okay, that might be TMI. Trent Sherfield, who apparently owned it, he was too close to his punter, Morstead.
Because he got strong butt cheeks.
And those strong butt cheeks turned into, much in the way. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So after the safety, it's 21-19, and the Bills once again have got an opportunity with the ball in their hands.
Second and 20, 18 seconds left. Allen, he goes down. No, he gets back up and tosses it to McKenzie, who's trying to get to the sideline, has to cut it back in and is tackled in bounds with 7 seconds left. Ingram, the tackle.
They're not going to get this off.
3, 2, 1. It's over.
Get it done.
It's over. Miami wins it. 21-19.
Could not get on the ball in time. That's going to do it. How about the effort of the Miami Dolphins defense today? Wow. What a stop.
Man, it was yet another finish for the Dolphins in which you're trying to process it. It's happening so fast, everything all at once. Now, this wasn't four touchdowns in the fourth quarter. It was a butt punt and a safety, but then it was the Bills with the ball in their hands, allowing time to run off the clock. Too much time, to the point where they were not able to get off a final play or even spike it. Didn't have any timeouts, so Josh Allen finds Isaiah McKenzie on the right sideline, and he thought he got out of bounds. He was trying to get out of bounds, but trying to get yards at the same time, and when he didn't get out of bounds, the clock didn't stop, and the clock ran out, preserving the Dolphins' win and their 3-0 record. We'll hear from them coming up. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs, ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you, with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.